Arise, shine. The light you have been waiting for is here. Darkness has been banished. The light of hope floods the earth. The light of love comes to us all. Spirit of life and love, make us ready to journey to this light. Prepare our hearts to receive this light. May it be so. Each week when we come together, we bring with us the joys and the concerns of our week. There are sadnesses we need to name, hopes we need to express, and joys that just cry out to be heard. So we take this time in our worship service to share these significant life events, and we light a candle as a symbol that that person, that thought, or that prayer is with us this morning. Assisting with joys and concerns this morning are Jolene Sullivan, Michelle Cote, and Mike Fitzer. If you have a joy or concern you would like to share this morning, please raise your hand and one of them will bring the microphone to you and light a candle for you. So who knows what today is? What is this day? Anyone? Today is Epiphany Sunday, for those of you who are not theology nerds like I am. Today is the day of Epiphany, which is a very special holiday, continuing the happiness of Christmas. So Christmas was the day that Jesus was born to Mary and Joseph, in the manger, in the stable. Remember, it was right here. The stable full of animals behind the inn in the city of Bethlehem in the land of Israel. So we celebrate Christmas by singing songs about the birth of Jesus, eating special foods, coming here to church, and giving gifts to each other that show our joy and our celebration. So Christmas was last week, but today is Epiphany, and the story of Jesus' birth continues. Now remember, when Jesus was born, the story goes that a big, bright, shining star appeared in the east, to bring the good news to everyone who looked into the sky. And remember from our Christmas Nativity play, there were three wise men, three kings, and they were trained in the meaning of the stars. So when they saw that big, special star in the sky that appeared when Jesus was born, wow. When they saw that big, shining star in the sky, they knew what that meant. They knew that the birth of this child had a special meaning. The wise men knew that they had to go to Bethlehem, where the baby Jesus had been born, and so they set off on a journey, bringing special gifts for Jesus. So that is the story of this day, Epiphany Sunday, the day that the wise kings finally arrived in Bethlehem to see the baby Jesus and to bring him his gifts. Today is a day of celebration, just like Christmas was, because actually Christmas was just the beginning, and we'll get to that later. But for those of you who have a hard time letting go of the holiday season, don't worry, because Christmas was just the beginning. This time of year is a special time, celebrating the light that the special child Jesus brought into the world and the light that we each bring into the world, the light that we bring into the world when we help others, when we treat our planet well, and when we love those around us. So happy Epiphany, and in that spirit, we will share a reading now from the Bible, which tells the story of those three wise men going to visit Jesus. From Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12, the visit of the wise men. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born king of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising, and we have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and the scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. And they told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophets. And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people, Israel." Then King Herod secretly called for the three wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, the wise men set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. And when they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road.
So today, as our children are staying with us, and also because sometimes it's nice to just do something different, we're going to have a little interactive activity. But first, in the story of the three kings, each king brings a gift to the baby. And these gifts really aren't what a baby typically would need. Frankincense, myrrh, and gold aren't a typical baby gift. However, the kings wanted to give something to the baby, so they gave what they thought was of value. They gave what they had. When I was young, one of my favorite Christmas songs as well as cartoons was called The Little Drummer Boy. Some of you might remember that. In this song and video, a little boy is a drummer, and he has no family, and he's very poor. And he comes across the baby, Jesus, and he sees the three kings giving the baby gifts. But he says, "I have no gift to bring. I have nothing that I can give to Jesus." And so he says, "The only thing I can give is my music. I can play the drum for him." And that's what he does. And everyone appreciates his music, and even the baby, I think in the cartoon, bops along. And then sometimes we forget that sometimes gifts don't need to be a thing of money and expense. And Christmas and sometimes Hanukkah has become so much about those kind of gifts that we get or the gifts we need to buy. Yet each one of us has a gift like the little drummer boy that we can share with the others that might not have any cost. And this gift, some of you that are in the Orange team know about this. They've been studying about intangible gifts, gifts that come from the heart, such as kindness and friendship and respect. And it's a gift that you can't touch or open, but that can help yourself as well as other people. So right now, inside each one of your pews, there's either index cards or strips of paper. And I want you to think of a gift that you could give someone else in this upcoming year. Maybe it's something that you'll do for someone else, for like the little drummer boy, or sometimes you actually have a tangible gift, a gift that you can hold on to that you think, I could give this to someone and that would help them. So I want you to think about a gift that you could give someone else, a gift from the heart, and either write about it or draw about it on your pieces of paper. And in a few minutes, we're going to do something with those. So keep working on those while we take the offertory, which Eileen will introduce.
Good morning again. So now it's time for some participation from the pews. Did everyone here have a good Christmas? Yes? Me too. Was anybody sad to see Christmas come to an end? Yeah. I know I was. As a little girl, I used to hate seeing those Christmas decorations get packed up and go away. Want to hear a funny story? When I was in elementary school, my mom would have to wait for school vacation to end so that I would be back in school, and then she would take the lights and the ornaments off the tree and throw the tree away. I would come home from school, see that the tree in all of its glittering splendor had disappeared from its spot in the living room, and I would cry and cry. This continued on until I was about maybe 14 or 15. Really, though, it still makes me sad to this day to see that tree go away, a reminder that one of my favorite holidays for the year is over. Well, my aunt is the same way. She actually keeps her Christmas tree for as long as it lasts before dying completely. And since she loves to celebrate holidays, my aunt redecorates her Christmas tree for each holiday that arrives. So she has a Valentine's Day tree and a St. Patrick's Day tree and an Easter tree and one year a 4th of July tree. Well, some people might say that she takes it a little far, but secretly, if my tree lasted that long, I would probably keep it too. Is there anyone today in the audience that feels like I do? Is it hard for you to let go of your Christmas tree and of the Christmas season as a whole? I see some nods. Well, I have good news for you all. Christmas is not over. Yes, I said it. Christmas isn't over yet. In fact, the 25th of December, the supposed birthday of Jesus, is only the beginning of this happy season. Remember the song, The 12 Days of Christmas? You know, the one about the ladies dancing, maids a-milking, pipers piping, the turtle doves and the partridge in the pear tree? Well, there are 12 days of Christmas according to the old traditions of the Christian church. So the Christmas season begins with the birth of Jesus in the stable in Bethlehem. And it continues since 2,000 years ago. The miraculous events of Jesus' birth did not happen all at once. It took a while for those people to see the star that signaled the arrival of the baby Jesus. It took a while for the celebrations to begin. And it took a while for those three wise men, those kings who were trained in the art of watching the stars, it took a while for them to get on their big, furry camels and make their way to Bethlehem to visit Jesus. So that's what today, Epiphany Sunday, celebrates. Those three kings from the east, after a long journey on the backs of their camels, have finally arrived in Bethlehem to see Mary, Joseph, and Jesus. Can you imagine how long that trip was? Has anyone here ever ridden a horse? Well, the wise men's journey was probably sort of like that, except probably a little bumpier because camels have humps. That can't have been an easy or a comfortable journey. But those wise men came because they had something very special for the baby Jesus. Now, like Michelle said, it was sort of an untraditional birthday gift for a baby. They brought gold, frankincense, and myrrh, things that were very precious, very rare, and very expensive during this time, 2,000 years ago. Those gifts that the three wise men brought were super expensive. It would be like if three wise people came to visit you today and brought you a pile of iPhones, diamond rings, brand new bicycles, and very expensive video games. Oh, and then they paid for your 4-year college tuition. Really, though, those gifts that those guys brought to Jesus probably cost them an awful lot. And you know, it's not like they could have had those gifts delivered to the baby Jesus with Amazon Prime. No, they did not order those gifts online, nor did they have them delivered by a FedEx truck. They rode all the way to the spot where Jesus was born on their bumpy, lumpy camels, carrying the gifts along with them. Can you imagine how tired they must have gotten? Can you imagine how heavy those gifts were, how bad the weather was? It was a desert after all. How hungry and thirsty those wise men must have gotten. And you know, they didn't have GPS back in those days either. Nope, nobody had a GPS device mounted on their camel. They didn't have a phone to call with to ask for directions or even a map. They followed a dang star. All the way there. I'm pretty sure I could not even get to work in the morning if all I had to follow was a star. All in all, it's pretty amazing that those three kings even made it. But those three wise men had stick-to-itiveness. That's right, they stuck to it. They made the long journey through the desert on their camels because they were on a mission. Those three kings were on a mission. And you know why? Because they had gifts to give. They each had something special, a unique and precious, valuable gift to offer to the baby Jesus. And so nothing could put a stop to their journey, no matter how long it took, no matter how discouraged they got. Remember the words from the song we sang? We three kings of Orient are bearing gifts, we traverse afar, field and fountain, moor and mountain, following yonder star. Well, they followed that star all right, and they found the baby Jesus, and they gave him their gifts. And their story, the story of those three kings, is the story of Epiphany on the 12th day of Christmas, 12 days after Jesus was born. And I think the story of those three kings has a lot to teach us today. Even though we don't usually give people frankincense and myrrh as gifts anymore. Even though we can just order gifts online, or we could just ride in our car instead of on a camel. But the three wise men have a message for us, and it is this. We all have gifts to give. And you know, sometimes, like Michelle said, sometimes those gifts aren't quite as obvious as that shiny gold or the sweet-smelling frankincense and myrrh. Sometimes the gifts we have to give wouldn't fetch as high a price on eBay as a glimmering piece of gold, but they are just as valuable. See, we all have gifts, and sometimes we forget that we have them, or we never even knew they were there in the first place. But it's true, we each have special gifts to give, gifts that are special, unique, precious, and needed, and beautiful. Maybe your gift is singing or playing a drum, and you can light up people's days with the sound of your music. I certainly know people like that. Maybe your gift is making art or cooking delicious food. Maybe your gift is writing really thoughtful cards that let people know how much you care about them. I have a friend like that, and over the 8 years that I have known her, I have saved up a whole shoebox of the letters that she has sent me. It brings me such joy to look at those letters. What a gift. Well, we each have a special talent, a special gift to give to the world, something that's big and important, like singing or cooking or writing, playing sports or building things, But we also have small gifts that we give to one another and to the world every day. And we can give these gifts just like those wise men did, even when it's hard, even when we're tired or feeling down or having a rough day riding along on our camels. Those gifts are small, but they can really be the ones that make the difference. These gifts show up in all kinds of unexpected and much needed places. Giving your friend a hug and feeling them relax in your arms, feeling them let go of some of the stress of their day. Helping your family to clean up after a meal, letting them know how much you appreciate them and how important they are. Seeing that someone is struggling and asking them how they're doing, and then really listening for their answer. Even just smiling at people, it's a lost art, really looking at someone and smiling. Or sending a text message or an email to a friend who you don't get to see very often, but who you think about a lot. Letting others know you care. Showing up for the people who are important in your life. Being there for them. These aren't gifts that are shiny like gold or fragrant like myrrh, but they are gifts all the same. And so the three wise men remind us, we all have gifts to give. These gifts are important. They are so important that it is worth it to ride through the desert on a lumpy and probably smelly camel. These gifts are so important that even when we know we are not headed to a 5-star luxury hotel, indeed, when we are headed to a manger lowly and a stable bare, even when we are not on the way to a luxurious destination, it's worth it to go anyway. It's worth it to show up, to make the journey, to be there for the people we love, and even for the people we don't know. Like those three kings showed up for Mary, Joseph, and Jesus, who were strangers, who were poor, who were far from home. It was worth it for those wise men to show up, and it's worth it for us to show up too. Because we have been given much by those around us, and because we have gifts to give, so many gifts to give to heal our world. We have gifts of light and love and life, gifts of hugs and soup and encouraging words, and gifts of just being there for one another. We each bring so many gifts with us everywhere we go, just waiting to be given. May it be so.
Now, I'm not going to ask you to ride a camel, and I'm not going to ask you to travel to Jerusalem, but I am going to ask you to get up, if you're able, and go and find someone that you do not know and share what gift you wrote or drew about. So you must get up and move around. If you're a child, you can go with a parent if you wish. If you're confident enough, go and speak to someone else. If you see someone who can't get up and move around, please go to them. Take about 5 minutes and just share with each other what gifts you have to bring to someone this coming year. Now comes the tricky part. The gifts that you spoke about is how to really keep those in your heart and think about how you're actually going to give those gifts to yourself as well as to others. All right, I have a story to share with you. Some of you, probably most of you, are familiar with this. It's How the Grinch Stole Christmas. And I'm going to read just parts of it because it's a very long story. Every Who down in Whoville liked Christmas a lot. But the Grinch, who lived just north of Whoville, did not. The Grinch hated Christmas the whole Christmas season. Now please don't ask why. No one quite knows the reason. It could be his head wasn't screwed on just right. It could be, perhaps, that his shoes were too tight. But I think the most likely reason of all may have been that his heart was 2 sizes too small. But whatever the reason, his heart or his shoes, he stood there on Christmas Eve hating the Whos, staring down from his cave with a sour, grinchy frown at the warm, lighted windows below in their town. For he knew every Who down in Whoville beneath was busy now hanging a mistletoe wreath. And they're hanging their stockings, he snarled with a sneer. Tomorrow is Christmas, it's practically here. Then he growled with his Grinch fingers, nervously drumming, "I must find some way to stop Christmas from coming." For he knew tomorrow all the Who girls and boys would wake up bright and early. They'd rush for their toys, and then, oh, the noise, the noise, noise, noise. The thing he hated most, the noise, noise, noise. Then the Who's, young and old, would sit down to a feast. And then, I am editing this, just to let you know. And then they'd do something he liked least of all. Every Who down in Whoville, the tall and the small, would stand close together with Christmas bells ringing. They'd stand hand in hand, and the Who's would start singing. They'd sing, and they'd sing, and they'd sing, 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 sing. And the more the Grinch thought of this Who Christmas sting, the more the Grinch thought, "I must stop this whole thing. Why, for 53 years I put up with it now. I must stop this Christmas from coming. But how?" Then he got an idea, an awful idea. The Grinch got a wonderful, awful idea. Now, what was that idea? What did the Grinch do, Caleb? Yep, he did. He emptied every house out of all the gifts, all the presents, all the decorations, and left nothing. And then he went 3,000 feet up the side of Mount Crumpet. He rode with his load to the tip-top to dump it. "Pooh, pooh to the Who's," he was grinchingly humming. "They're finding out now that no Christmas is coming. They're just waking up. I know just what they'll do. Their mouths will hang open a minute or two. Then the Who's down in Whoville will all cry boo-hoo." "That's a noise," grinned the Grinch, "that I simply must hear." So he paused, and the Grinch put his hand to his ear. And he did hear a sound rising over the snow. It started in a low, then it started to grow. But the sound wasn't sad. Why, this sound sounded merry. It couldn't be so. But it was merry, very. He stared down at Whoville. The Grinch popped his eyes. Then he shook. What he saw was a shocking surprise. Every Who down in Whoville, the tall and the small, was singing without any presents at all. He hadn't stopped Christmas from coming. It came. Somehow or other, it came just the same. And the Grinch, with his Grinch feet ice cold in the snow, stood puzzling and puzzling. How could it be so? It came with ribbons. It came without tags. It came without packages, boxes, or bags. And he puzzled 3 hours till his puzzler was sore. Then the Grinch thought of something he hadn't before. Maybe Christmas, he thought, doesn't come from a store. Maybe Christmas perhaps means a little bit more. And what happened then? Well, in Whoville, they say, that the Grinch's small heart grew 3 sizes that day. And the minute his heart didn't feel quite so tight, he whizzed with his loads through the bright morning light, and he brought back the toys and the food for the feast, and he himself, the Grinch, carved the roast beef. Now, to me, this story talks about an epiphany, and I'm going to tell you what a different kind of epiphany is. We spoke about one kind of epiphany that Eileen told us about when the 3 wise men came on January 6th to visit Jesus, the baby. Then there's a different, a second definition that means when you see a manifestation or a visit from a divine being, and a divine being visits you and you see them, and that's a different kind of epiphany. The third is the one I'm going to speak about, and that's when you have a moment when you realize something really important about yourself or the world. For some, this epiphany can be a realization that can really change your life in a major way. Some other people think of epiphanies as not so life-changing, but as having an aha moment, a light bulb moment, when things about yourself become clear. The Grinch had an epiphany, not when he had that wonderfully awful idea to take away Christmas. He might have thought that was an epiphany, but that didn't change him in any way. He had an epiphany when he realized that the people of Whoville really were living the spirit of Christmas. He realized that he wanted to be part of a community rather than living on his own. This epiphany led him to become a kinder person. Throughout so many books and movies, characters are faced with problems, and many of them have an epiphany about what their part of the problem was or how to face others that are creating that problem for them. This realization leads characters to examine how they choose to act and many times change their behavior. Can any of you think of a book that you read where the character has an epiphany, a time when they realize something really important about themselves that changed, or they changed how they viewed themselves or how they treated others? I bet each one of you can think of a movie or a book that's touched you in that way. When I hear the word epiphany, I often do think of the major epiphanies that can change someone's life. I am not sure how many of us have had this type of epiphany. I am sure some of us have had a realization, a light bulb moment, that we think about ourselves or the world and how we can change something about how we act towards the world or how we act to other people. I think that we've had little epiphanies when we realize this about ourselves. When you realize you do have the willpower to carry through with something you never thought you could do, to me that's a type of epiphany. When you see a person being treated badly or even bullied, and you realize that you do indeed have a voice and you can choose to, and you choose to use that voice to speak up to another type, to that person, that's a different type of epiphany. When you realize that you have spent a lot of time being negative about yourself, and suddenly you begin to see yourself in a positive light that overshadows the negative self-talk, that's an epiphany. When you've gotten yourself into the bad habit of treating your children or your parents in a way that just doesn't feel right, and you realize this and make efforts to improve, that can be an epiphany. I am sure many of you can think of times, or multiple times, we've had experiences and not really properly label them an epiphany, but if they are something that is like a light bulb that goes off in your head and you realize, wait a minute, I have power, I can change this, I can do something about this, that is a type of epiphany. So as we begin this new year of 2016, I hope that each one of us can really listen to our hearts and our minds, and when we have a glimpse of something about ourselves, and a light bulb that goes off, a little or maybe even big epiphany, that we will allow ourselves time to think about what we have realized and make efforts to follow through. And like the Grinch, I hope that each one of us, when we realize something about ourselves, that we will reach out to a community of people, like those here at FPC, and know that our ideas, our changes, our realizations about ourselves and the world will be embraced. Happy New Year.
We who have been given much go out into the world.
We go to share our gifts with the world around us.
As we go to share our gifts, we know that the great gift giver, Spirit of life and love, has blessed, is blessing, and will continue to bless us.
So peace be with you all as you follow your stars and as you give your gifts.